Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Seffi.
I'm Wing.
And today we asked for your questions. We asked about loads of stuff and you really, really came through. We talk about how to live without regrets, or do we live with regrets? Living a life with structure. Whether which one of us is chaotic and messy, which you guys, you've got no fucking clue.
Got no clue. Not a Scooby.
We talk about aliens, about how we were abducted by aliens, Wing's experience with demons. We go in.
Oh, God.
It's a bit of an amalgamation of weird topics, but I think it's really fun. We talk about privilege as well. It's an interesting episode, and I hope you love it.
I hope you absolutely love it. I've got a good feeling about this episode. I've got a bit of a bizarre feeling that you've been sent this episode by a friend to listen to. Oh, you should listen to Goes Without Saying, and this is the episode that you've stumbled upon. If so, you're in for a real ride, but you're going to get to know us pretty quickly, I'd say.
Enjoy.
Okay, I thought this was really interesting. This person said, if you had... Okay, I already fucked it up. Okay, this person said, if someone told you that you had 60 seconds left to live, would you have any regrets?
Oh,
so yeah, I'm
going
to shoot them in the fucking face. Someone told me that I had 60 seconds to live.
It's like, what have you got planned?
But I think that's interesting. Do you have any regrets? And like, regrets as a whole, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I'd be flipping out, first of all. 60 seconds, I don't even think I'd be thinking about regrets. I would be flipping tables, dancing, getting my skates on. I just need to quickly do some shit.
I think I'd be getting into position. You know what? I think I'd be making sure my corpse was looking quite good. It's like, all of a sudden, I'm changing outfits.
It's like, quickly let me get some lip gloss on now.
It's like, let me just quickly curl my eyelashes.
But it's kind of like, please don't kill me. I think I'd be trying to talk them out of it. Like, why 60 seconds? Why me?
It's kind of, who gave you this information and let me record it and spread the word that yeah, they will be visited by you.
You need to go to jail right now. But I guess this wasn't really the question of what would you do to the man that tells you you've got 60 seconds. And it's about what regrets you'd have. Would you have regrets?
Well, you had a near-death experience quite recently, didn't you? Do you remember? Sorry that I'm bringing it back up.
No, I don't remember at all. When the fuck did I nearly die?
You were in a plane. Yeah.
Oh my Christ.
You literally said when you got out, I will never lose this feeling of being grateful for my life. That wore off pretty quick, didn't it? I will never take my life for granted again.
Basically, I was in a plane and it was fucking crazy. Like, it had been a weird flight. And I remember about 15 minutes before we landed, I was like, about 15 minutes before we got the announcement, like, we're gonna land, I was like, we're not gonna fucking land this plane. Like, this is not gonna land. It was so windy. I was on my own, terrifying. Hadn't seen my family in quite a long time. Like, I was quite, like, desperate to get, like, to touch the ground. And I just thought that we're not gonna fucking land this. And we were going down. We were, like, waving all over the fucking place. And
we were going down is not a good sign.
To land. Going down, brackets, to land the plane. Mm-hmm. But it was, honestly, we were going down. We were nosediving. It was horrific. Mm-hmm. And it must have been that the back wheels of the plane touched the ground. And then it was like, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And then the plane just went up again. And the fucking woman through the speaker was like, the pilot has aborted the landing, we're gonna circle round. And I was like, okay, this is my death. Now, and I was just sitting there, like, everyone was, there were babies crying, people were screaming.
I really did think it was your death. Remember the on that day I had said to my boyfriend, I've got a really bad feeling about Seffi's flight.
Oh god, that just sends shivers down my spine.
And I remember looking at our messages. I pulled our messages up and I thought, do I message her? Like, I had been thinking all day, because I remember you were at the airport daydreaming about James Acaster.
And I was daydreaming. And sometimes I get in this mood where I can't stop thinking about someone. But I remember saying, like, you were like, what are you daydreaming about? And I was like, just like us buying coffee together. And you're like, wait, did you buy two coffees? Did you buy a coffee? One for you, one for fictional James Acaster. And it's kind of like, I wouldn't put it past me in that state.
Well, if you died that night, it would be like, God, I spent my last hours like wishing my life away, like wishing my life for somebody else.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking like, oh, I'm not gonna bring it up, obviously, because I don't want to tempt fate.
Freak her. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to call it into the universe.
Well, honestly, me and James Acaster nearly died that night. We were sitting there, both on our little plane seats.
Were you holding hands?
We were holding hands as we went down. I really wasn't thinking about him.
God, I'd be scared if you were.
But I remember when we were in the sky kind of circling round to like land again. And honestly, it was like thunder in the sky, like lightning, thunder, like raining. Like plane was like, not, like honestly, the plane was going. Also, when it was going up again, it was like, we're going to die. Like this is it. And I did land, blah, blah, blah. But I remember thinking when I was in the sky.
And I am dead, reporting to you now as a ghost.
And I am, this is coming to you from beyond the grave. But I remember thinking, like, as soon as I am on the ground, I will never, ever think any of this shit about myself. Like, fuck my own fucking body dysmorphia, fuck social anxiety, fuck any insecurity, fuck anything that I don't think I can do. That wore off after about 2 days. But I remember that
saying,
feeling.
How long is this gonna last? But it was nice.
Yeah, I remember phoning you the next morning at about 7 a.m. being like, yeah, well, I'll never be sad again. And then I'm thinking, well,
I'll never be cheerful again.
Honestly, I'll never be cheerful again. And that lasted about 2 days.
And look what happened.
But I remember when I got in the car, my mum was like, I had a fucking bad feeling about that. And so did you.
Yeah, because your mum came and picked you up.
Which
she
would never do.
To.
She would never do that.
I kept having this thought of you in a plane, like panicking and like looking out the window and things like that. Mm. I remember things kind of flapping around.
That's the vibe.
And very like, very jaggedy, like left and right kind of vibe.
The man next to me was praying.
Yeah.
The man next to me, honest, James Acaster, was praying. Praying. It's like the baby's crying, people screaming. Like, it was not good. It was really not good.
And you applauded.
And I never applaud because I fucking hate that. I think that's American shit.
It's also not American. It's like...
It's really
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'm completely joking.
No,
I love
I
Americans.
Know, but... Yeah.
But I never applaud because I'm never usually that person that's like, you did a good job. I'm usually quite mean. But I did applaud.
It's like a white man in the thing. You're like, don't praise him.
He's done nothing.
You got this job through nepotism.
His dad probably was a pilot before him. It's fine, guys. But this time I did even. I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll clap. I'm happy to be alive, whatever.
Oh, well, I'll give them a clap. So happy they delivered you back to us safely.
Yeah. So that was my near-death experience. What about you?
Did you have any regrets? I know you said I'm going to live without fear and stuff.
Oh, this is what it was about.
Yeah, but regrets. Do you think it pulled any regrets into practice? Just the regret of not living fully, I guess.
No, I had no regrets.
Yeah.
I think I just was like, I love life. Like I was like, I just don't want to die in a plane. But I think that was more from the perspective of like, I don't want my mum to be getting that phone call of like, a plane's gone down, she's like driving and she's like, fuck, is no, like which plane. Like, I didn't
don't.
Want any of that stuff.
God, we're all getting nuts. This wasn't what we came here for. But I was looking through at flights and stuff, because I remember there was a headline about a plane and I thought, oh my god, it's Cefis. It wasn't Ovi.
Christ, it's horrific.
But it was quite
it's just
thing.
Really horrendous. But I think what I was nervous for, it wasn't so much regrets, it was more I want to protect my family from that unfortunate news that my plane has gone down, my body's lost in the Gatwick Airport Terminal 2. I don't know. Yeah.
Jeez.
What about you? Do you think you would have regrets, or do you think you'd be quite happy with the way that you've like chosen to live?
Well, I've been happy about the way that I've been chosen to live, but there's still lots that I'm looking forward to, I think, which I would feel a bit gutted that things, kind of opportunities have been taken from me.
Yeah.
Just time. But also I have this thing with getting older. Remember?
Go on.
This is kind of my thing that I love to preach about people, that like when they're like, oh, I don't feel 22. I feel like I'm still just like 17.
14. Yeah.
That bugs me because I just think it just comes from a place of insecurity. One, that you've been taught that like women are only valuable in their youth.
Mm.
And two, I think the main thing is that obviously you associate with childhood because, or your childhood self, you identify with her or them. because you have got this weird misconception about adulthood, quote unquote, which is a construct anyway, but that suddenly means that you know what you're doing. And I just think it's really a reflection of the fact that everyone is just pretending that they know what they're doing, but actually no one really knows what they're doing. But you can be confident or insecure or blah, blah, blah. But I just, it always makes me feel a bit sad for people when they're not, they don't identify with the own experience of the life that they've lived. It's like, what do you mean you don't identify with being 24? Because you've got 24 years behind you, and isn't that so lucky?
Yeah.
Like, what a blessing to have all of that life, and you've only got, hopefully, more experience coming. Is it, yeah, if you knew you were going to die in 60 seconds, I'm sure all of a sudden you would be like, fuck yeah, I do want to get to 25. I do want to be 26 one day. I do want to be 79 one day.
Literally.
I would hope you do.
Yeah. We were having this conversation the other day, and I think something you said which really resonated with me, you were saying that you're 25, say, 28, whatever age you want to call yourself, whoever you're listening right now, you're the age you are now, and you still play Sims, you still play Pokemon, you still like roller skating or whatever. You liked those when you were a kid. It doesn't mean that you still feel six. You don't still feel 12. You just like those things, but you had this weird idea that you grow out of computer games and you'll grow out of certain behaviours, but you don't grow out of them. And let's hope you don't, because why on earth should you be 18 not playing Pokemon? Why on earth? Who gave you those rules?
Yeah, I think the problem is when people associate ages with like behaviours. Yeah. It's like, no, why don't you just live freely, keep learning, keep growing, and see what sticks around? Like, there's no pressure, and it's fine.
Mm, it's all just fun.
It's an amazing thing to get older. It's like, God, my 30s, like, I remember saying in an episode even, I'm sure I said this in an episode, it's like, if this is us now, can you imagine, like, add 10 years onto it, it's like, fuck, oh my God.
I always say I'm going to peak in my 50s.
Exactly.
And even that seems early.
Exactly.
But I'm like, yeah, you should fucking see me in my 50s. Fuck. Yeah. I don't even want to, it's like, you better wait. But yeah, I even think that, it's like, yeah, see me when I'm 80.
And I think people get trapped in kind of nostalgia. Completely. I think it's a mental health issue where people put on their rose-tinted glasses and they can only feel happy or feel anything when they go back to a time from their youth or even from their infancy. But I just think you're doing yourself a massive disservice, because you've got so much ahead of you. And there are also so many amazing experiences that you've had in your not so distant past that you could also feel something. I'm sure you could muster up a little bit of feeling about them. You don't have to kind of regress to access emotion. Like, don't be loyal to your 8-year-old self, just be loyal to who you're going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you make it, hopefully,
and who you are right now.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
God, she's like, I didn't ask. She's like, I just wanted a nice little, like, oh, I'd regret, like, not making a movie. It's like, I didn't ask.
Like, I nearly died on a plane.
Honestly, fairy godmother, I didn't ask.
We didn't ask for this.
Only a teardrop away.
So I always want to talk about this topic at every opportunity. So let's go in. Somebody asked, do you believe in aliens?
I knew it was that one from your phrasing. I knew.
I only want to talk about aliens, ghosts.
Okay. Well, they didn't ask about ghosts, so you can't talk about ghosts.
You can't talk about ghosts? Because of your fear.
Oh, I said... God, I said you can't... I just said you can't... I made a joke. I was like, you can't talk about ghosts because the ghosts didn't ask you about ghosts.
No.
That wasn't the question.
Well, I actually kind of do want to talk about ghosts now that you brought them to the table. We did make a Halloween episode years and years ago, but that is not available anymore, where we went in and in on Wing's experiences with ghosts and demons. And I wish you could all hear it, but you can't. So maybe you could just give a little, like, 2-sentence teaser of what happened to you.
I was deeply haunted. Like, I literally...
And I love it.
I was just so haunted. But, I was so haunted. I think I said this in the episode. Where, like, in essays and stuff, I couldn't say, like... If I was handwriting something, I couldn't be like, so when blah, blah, blah does that, this demonstrates how the blah, blah, blah. With the word demonstrates, I would write demo straight and then I would go back and put the N in.
Because
I didn't want to write the word demon. More or less, I didn't want to write the word demons, plural. Because I thought I was attracting them. I couldn't even write the word demonstrates.
So she was haunted by demons, big time.
I really was, though. And I remember, like, being up, always up at, like, 3 a.m., like, kind of going through, like, messaging all my friends, like, is anyone up? Just to talk to somebody. Because it was, like, I need kind of a reminder that, like...
reality exists.
Yeah, yeah. And just kind of, like, oh, fuck, like... God, I was so scared. So weird.
I'm so jealous out of my fucking asshole. I literally want to see a ghost so badly.
I've got all of these things that is... I remember thinking, oh, well, that's... I remember you saying, oh, I'm so into, like, lucid dreaming. I've never been able to do it. And I thought, oh, great, well, she's going to love me because I've been lucid dreaming for so long. It's like all of these things that you're really interested in. It's really annoying that I... That's kind all the experiences.
But I think that's kind of why I love you so much. Also for all the other reasons. But you do have experience with the supernatural that I am obsessed with.
Is that all I am to you?
You are as mad as me in a lot of ways. And I'm like stalking you like, please tell me more. But have you ever had an experience with aliens? Everyone like tunes out. They're like, we thought you were smart.
Well, I think my boyfriend is an alien.
Oh, so do I. Yeah, I agree. Because I remember quizzing him on it and him getting quite shifty.
Oh, he gets shifty eyes. If he could hear me now, he would. I might get a text in a minute saying, don't speak about it. He's like, shut your fucking mortal mouth, bitch.
I don't think he is an alien. I think he was probed by an alien. Like, they kidnapped him one night.
They did, yeah. He was abducted.
Probed him and sent him back down.
For sure.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like it, frankly.
Fear like that.
Yeah, and he does have some marks on his body that he doesn't know where they've come from and stuff like that. And if he sees something in the sky, honestly, it's that we'll be hearing about for the rest of the night. He'll literally run to the window like a kid on Christmas.
He's like, they're coming to take me.
Like, there have been so many times where I've been waiting in bed, like tapping my foot, waiting for him, just like watching him stood at the window. Yeah, so... And he talks about, like, things that I'm like, how would you know that? Like, there's little things that he's like, there's, like, a jar and it's got, like, a limb in it and it's, like, the long claws and stuff like that. I'm like, how would you know that unless you've been there?
You 100% were abducted. I remember, like, I think we were walking back somewhere and I was sort of saying, like, so this whole alien thing, like, what do you think that's from? And he was getting quite angry at me, like, I told you, I don't want to talk about aliens.
Literally, yeah. Literally that.
So, yeah, I definitely believe they exist, though.
What I do, just in the sense that I'm like, what, you think this is kind of...
We're so minuscule.
Yeah, it's like, put yourself in perspective. And I bet you kind of think that your job is the most important thing that we all have to think about on the planet as well. I bet you think the boss is your god. I bet you kind of think that your neighbour is the most important observer of your life. Like...
Yeah, it's like you say you don't believe in God, but then look at you worshipping these scrappy dudes day in,
yeah,
day out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, take your problems and like, realise that they're minuscule. So easy to do. Hope that helps. Also, drink more water.
Aliens exist. Wings dating an alien and she gets haunted by ghosts. It's like, we thought you guys were like feminists. So like feminist, clever people, what's going on? We are also completely mad.
Yeah, I know.
But I just think, how can you not believe in aliens? In the sense that if you watch one of those videos where it's like, this is how big the Earth is, and it's like a little pea, and then it spans out and out and out and out and out. It's like, really, you think you're that special, mate?
Yeah.
No, you're not. But also, like, you look at the sky and you see all those stars that are all suns, and they all have planets. They all have solar systems.
You know, I really never saw the stars until I was like... Well, never, like now. So like now where I live with my boyfriend, I can see the stars. But growing up in London, I never once looked out into the night sky and saw stars. Like, oh, I kind God. Of, like,
you
I didn't know that that
in,
was
like,
a thing.
Stories, like in books, that you see all the stars in the sky.
It's like, oh God, people in the countryside, like, see, like, can see shooting the sky. Stars. It's like, shit, like, I'm definitely getting cancer by the time I'm 40 and dying, for sure, of, like, all the pollution. Like, it's too late for me.
And would you have any regrets?
Yeah. I remember literally, don't you remember in Brighton even, like, I would literally pull you guys and be like, look, oh my God, the stars.
That is
like,
so funny.
That's crazy.
I'm quite into, like, constellations and stuff. I always have been quite into, like, there's Orion's Belt. Like, there's
yeah, Pegasus. Well, you had the luxury of being able to see them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they are just quite stunning. Like, I do, like, in Portugal, when I look and, like, that's the craziest I've ever seen it, because there's no, like, relative brightness or blah, blah, blah. It's just
exactly,
purely, like,
yeah.
You're in the dark and it's, like, mad. And that's, like, shooting star sort of mayhem. And I fucking love that.
Kind of Animal Crossing vibes.
Yeah, it's like your blathers is kind of talking your ear off in the corner.
Oh, what's her name? I'm Celeste.
Celeste.
She's like, do you want this DIY recipe for fucking like, ornate Libra mug? It's like, yeah.
It's like, I will take it, Celeste.
Sorry, my pockets are full. I can't. Right, so what's your thing with aliens then?
I don't have a thing. I'm going to get shifty like your boy. I literally don't have any thoughts on aliens. What the hell, why are you talking about aliens so much? I don't really have a thing about them. I'm just absolutely fucking obsessed with them. I'm obsessed with anything.
Well, yeah, but like, why are you obsessed?
Because they're fucking cool.
Yeah.
I had this weird DVD that was like, my dad had borrowed it off his friend and I like found it. And it was called... If you know this, I will be so impressed because it's most
God,
niche thing.
That's niche.
It was called...
If you know this, this is a sign that we've really blown up and gone viral because statistically...
The chances are zero.
I can't see it happening.
If you are under the age of 50 and know this, I'm shocked. It was called Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
God.
You will not know it. And why would you know it? But there were loads of them. There was one that was on UFOs. There's one on like Bigfoot. One that was on like crystal skulls. Like they were crazy. Each one was like an hour long episode about like weird phenomena, like ghosts and things like that. But the alien one was so crazy. And it would be these people talking about like their experiences seeing UFOs. And like one of them was like, they landed on our house and they looked like sort of, they had like blue hair. And, yeah, literally.
It's like, was it by any chance December 25th?
Did he have a long beard? Was he putting presents on your chimney? But yeah, I think I've just been obsessed with the idea of like other life, like visiting us and blah, blah, blah. Even though I think like, why on earth would they visit us? Like, why would that even happen? I just fucking live for it.
I definitely think this is why we're good friends.
Mm. Go on.
Well, it was just one of our first like bonding, like kind of tools
we
to get to know one
bonded
another.
Bonded over yeah, spooky yeah. stuff.
Because it's almost like I'm in. Like all you've got to do is tell me with a straight face and I'm fucking in. Like yeah. I'll believe you. I don't have any problems believing unfalsifiable information.
Oh my God, not at all. I believe it all the time. I live by it all the time. I think people should be a bit like, when people are like, I'm just skeptical. It's like, oh, look at the things. You believe in fucking capitalism, mate. You believe in a load of shite. You literally believe in the patriarchy. You're here out there living by that.
She needs to sort out her priorities.
Yet you're so unwilling to believe in like, a tiny little bit of ghosting.
A bit of fun. The thought of your grandma visiting you after she's died. You don't want to believe that. Give me a break.
You believe in maths? I don't comprehend that, but I fucking believe
it. You believe in Pythagoras' theorem, but you don't want to believe that when your grandparents die, they're going to come and say, oh, my sweet angel, and they're going to tuck you in and give you a little kiss on your forehead. That's
exactly.
That's too pleasant for you, is it? You can't handle a bit of love in your life. That's a shame. Save it all for me. More for us.
TikTok's been telling you this. Romanticize your fucking life. I just think what a bleak existence it is when you're like, no proof though.
Yeah, it's like, bleak. But can we talk about that? Romanticizing your life?
Yeah, let's do it.
And like main character stuff and like blah, blah, blah.
I love it.
Me too. Okay, well, I'm glad we spoke about that.
Cool. So why do you love it? Go on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Well,
it gives you quite an opportunity to indulge in the smallness of yourself and kind of create.
Life. Yeah, well, I'm ruled by Venus, so I love all the romantic beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's what, I just think, okay, well, you could, yeah, you could live in bleakness, or you could live in bleakness but put your rosy glasses on and live in a rosy bleakness. It's like, yeah, well, sometimes dip into the rosy bleakness then. That's fine.
It's kind of, you could either just be sitting on a train, or you could be sitting on a train pretending it's a music video. Okay. Okay, I'll do that. I'll put my hand along the on the window and let a little tear go down. Well, I can do that for you.
You don't want to know the music video repertoire I have in my mind. Stunning. But this is also a thing, like, with us doing this, is that, like, you listening will often message us, and which is like, God, I mean, we can't even tell you how much we love you. Like, yeah.
I think we do tell them quite a lot, but it still doesn't sum it up at all.
Yeah, it's such a thing of everyone being like, oh, you're so, basically we just get loads of compliments all the time. But people like give loads of compliments, but we've said this before, you might think, oh, okay, I like Seven Women because they're funny, or like, I like Seven Women because they're smart, or I like Seven Women because they're empowered, but it's, you don't really like us at all. This really isn't about us at all. It's about, you see like two people on the internet or whatever, and all the things that you might think, okay, I like Seffy and Wing because they're empowered, you only like that because that's a part of yourself and you are connecting with it because we're reflecting it back at you. All of the amazing qualities that we apparently possess through your perspective is only the way that you feel about yourself. Yeah, you just need to allow you to see yourself the way that you view people on the internet or other people that you admire or idolise, etc. But it's like, I find it sad when you see like a 14-year-old girl have like Ariana Grande as her profile picture, and she's got this whole like fan account dedicated to Ariana Grande, which is stunning. That's really nice. But it's like, you've dedicated all of this time and like thought to compliment someone. You could be doing that to yourself. And it's like, yeah, you only like Ariana Grande because she was like a bit sweet in interviews, and you know, and you connected to her, you related to her.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because you're sweet too. Like, you're only relating to people because you possess those same qualities, or whatever you think that you see in them, you have that in yourself.
And you see their strength and you think, yeah, I want that strength. But you don't know that you already have that strength.
You already have it.
And most likely the person that you're looking at thinking, oh, they seem so strong there, they seem so great, they sound so funny, probably isn't thinking about themselves. They probably got other people they're looking at.
It might be the worst day of their life.
Oh, we've had messages where I have been... This is the bit that's so crazy to me, that there have been days, obviously there are days in all of our lives where we just feel like absolute fucking shit. And there have been days where I've just been like, fuck, I just want to go to bed and I hate everything and I just literally want to lie down and fuck life. Like, I'm just
done.
I'm literally done. Get me back on that plane. I'll reverse this shit. but I'm just like, I want to go to bed. And we get a message that's like, how do you do this? Like, how are you guys so empowered? It's like, what? Like, this is crazy. Like, if you knew, or like people that send messages that trigger me, and then I think, God, like, if you knew
the, like, power you hold in our lives.
You're so sweet, but I'm triggered from it because of imposter syndrome and bullshit. But it's like, yeah, you're so confident. It's like, yeah, we are so confident, but we're also human. And it's like, you forget the humanity of things when you see things, not even through a screen, through your little headphones, we're even more fragmented to you.
But it's also like, it's so frustrating to hear, like, people would be like, oh, I just like want to start my own podcast or blah, blah, blah. If you need, I have a feeling that you need to hear this right now. Someone sitting you down, please take a seat. And I'm going to say to you, this is your sign to get started on that thing that you want to do. And you're a bit scared and you keep putting it off because the timing's not right, or you don't know how you're going to make it work, or everyone's going to judge you. No, because I'm telling you, you've got 60 seconds to live. And there's nothing you can do about it. Let's get started. Okay, that was a joke. You don't have 60 seconds to live. But
everyone's like looking around them now, like, how is this going to get me?
Yeah, but you should get started on that thing, because living authentically, it can't come soon enough.
No.
Living without fear, it cannot come soon enough.
And living, not wanting to brand yourself, not going, well, that makes sense if I do this bit, and that makes sense if I just slot that little bit in there, and then I'll give off this perception. No, we're not doing that. What do you actually want to do? Please do it. And it's hard.
What are the things that you would be thinking about if you were reminded of your mortality?
Yeah.
How would you get started? Where would you begin?
And also, it might fail.
Well, as long as you learn something, it never fails.
Like, this is the thing. I was listening to a song, actually. It was a song I heard on TikTok, because I did re-download TikTok, and it's going. But I was listening to this song, and one of the lyrics was like, I I made fucking 6 albums. They all flopped, but I'm still here. And it's like, yeah, what a privilege to have make 6 albums and they all flop. What a privilege, because you've actually learned so much from that, and that is actually quite desirable. Obviously, it's great to have album number one reach fucking number one, but it's also amazing to still be doing it and still be striving and learning.
But also, I know 100% if your album number one hits number one, you're not feeling happy. You're feeling terrified as fuck that you're never going to be able to come back again. Yeah. Nothing you ever do will ever compare in your personal life and in the music that you go into after this. You're going to be a one-hit wonder. It was just a fluke. The imposter syndrome jumps out.
Yeah.
And you don't allow yourself to be happy.
It's so true. It's just such a blessing to be able to try things. And even if it doesn't work, I mean, what we're doing right now, it could fucking flop. Like, this could be flop number one. We don't know. We're trying, and that's the blessing of it all.
But anything that you get enjoyment out of, and anything that you feel in some way has served you as a person in that moment, whether that lasts 10 minutes or 10 years, that was right for you then.
Success.
And that, yeah, that's a success. That could never be a flop.
Nothing can be a flop unless you allow it to be a flop, I guess.
God, we're on fire today. You're on fire. Do you think we're on fire today?
Yeah, I think we're on fire. You're on fire.
You're on fire.
It's like, we're not really getting the rhythm of it right. So are they getting that it's a professor Quirrell?
Fire.
To Snape.
You're on fire.
Yeah, that's it. And then Snape, what happens there? He falls backwards.
He falls back because Hermione does her little thing because she thinks, he's jinxing the broom! Jinxing the broom!
Nice. And he's like really... They're like under. I haven't seen that one in years.
I had it on the other day.
Is that one where his hand goes all floppy?
No, that's Chamber of Secrets.
That's Gilderoy Lockhart. Yeah, crash.
Chasing the broom. Anyway, let's go.
I don't have an answer for this one, but I want to throw it to you because it's so interesting.
I'm ready to catch it. I'm open.
You're open?
I'm open.
I'm going to do a little football.
We don't know enough football jokes to keep
lads.
That going.
I'll just say lads. That's football, right? Lads. Lads. Boys.
Oh, right. Like team. Oh, I'm kind of get your head in the game vibes.
Oh, I was like...
Coach had to fake right then break something, left. Something
outside J. What is an outside J?
No idea. Why am I feeling so wrong?
I love that.
My head's in the game.
I think...
But my heart's in the song. Sorry. I had to finish it.
I love the sports songs in High School Musical.
You
I love
like, that. Hey, batter, batter, batter. Which I kind of like for making pancakes. Hey, batter, batter, hey.
Batter, hey, batter,
but
batter.
But I'm not into the kind of glorified rounders vibe with a hint of queer baiting.
I love a hint of queer baiting. I love Chad and Ryan, hint of queer baiting. That's what I'm into.
You're kind of picturing them with the peach. You're taking them to a kind of Spanish resort.
Oh, you know I am. Well, it's kind of little 10-year-old me watching that scene did not know what was going on, but she was like, oh my God, something's
you
going on.
You did know
here.
What was going on, right? Or no?
I did. I definitely don't think I saw Ryan as gay. Like, I saw, like, him.
What?
Yeah, I don't think I knew. I think I fancied Ryan for a bit just because he's, like, the nice guy. Because he was, like, with Kelsey, obviously ridiculous.
How bizarre.
But I don't think I had words for it. Like, we had, like, gay family friends, but I didn't know that campness.
You'd heard of gay people. You knew they existed somewhere.
No, but
you didn't
think
they'd be in your
thing.
Movie. Yeah.
But not within Disney. Not within the Disney universe. Like, I knew gay people in my life. I didn't know gay people on TV because I'd, like, never seen that before, really. And he wasn't. And he was, like, with a girl.
Yeah, but, like...
But that scene was the one where I was like, I know what's going on here.
Right.
Oof.
You had a hint and you liked it. You wanted to see more.
Well, I loved Chad anyway. I was always more of a Chad... girl than a Troy
always.
Girl but I assume you're a Troyer because you're just Gabriella in every way.
I'm gonna take that as an insult only because I know that you don't like Gabriella, but also
no, I do like Gabriella, but I know
no,
that
you don't lie.
I just associate with Sharpay.
Yeah, because you're a Slytherin.
Yeah, but I associate you with Gabriella, but more just looks wise
only
I
because
think.
I was the main character. Only because...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was the evil bitch.
Yeah, which is fine. That's okay. We can go with that.
And that's why we're friends.
That's fine for me, but you can't say you're Gabriella, knowing we've had like... I literally used Gabriella as a reference for you last week to say, you're not a Gabriella, you're a Sharpay, like to try and empower you.
Sharpay.
I know that's what you like to hear. And then you try and flip it back on me, but it doesn't work. It's like me saying, oh, last week I spent a lot of time saying, I don't like... potato chips And then today I'm like, you know what you remind me of?
Potato chips. An it's American potato like, chips.
Yeah. You remind me of, I don't know, like a potato chip. Anyway.
Well, no, it's more looks wise. You remind me of Gabriella.
Oh, well, I'm all over it. I'm getting paid more than everyone else. It's fine. I'm leaking my nudes left, right and centre.
Vanessa Ann Hudgens over here.
Vanessa Ann Hudgens.
With a hint of Selena.
With a hint of Selena, yeah. Mm. As said by, what's her name? Oh, that's really rude of me to say. What's her name? Marlon.
Marlon.
Marlon from Love
Marlon
Island.
From Love Island.
Said that I look like Selena Gomez. You know, I messaged her the other day. She didn't reply. So she's gone off of us.
Oh, really?
A fun story. Marlon used to really quite like us. But
big
now
fan.
She doesn't. I don't know what happened. So, yeah. And I thought, I'm going to message her and kind of spice things back up. But she wasn't, it was tumbleweeds. So that's fine.
But she does think you look like Selena Gomez and you'll always have that under your belt. So
a compliment lasts forever.
Exactly. Oh, well, that could be the answer, because someone said, what has been the most pivotal moment of your life to date or that you can think
I
of?
I knew it was going to be this.
And it could be Marlon saying you look like Selena.
I know what one you're going to say.
Oh, go on.
I knew you were going to ask that question.
You know the ones I like.
I know, yeah, I know. And I know how you would set them up as well, which is really funny. we finished each other's sandwiches. I would say I know the most pivotal moment of my life immediately, which really lowers the tone of the podcast. But if you didn't know, I was homeless when I was like 16, 17.
So true.
Which was pretty pivotal to me. Yeah. Well, because I'm so far from that now.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you didn't know, I left home when I was like, I don't know, like 16, 17, which was crazy. It wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy.
It was crazy.
Let's say it again. It was crazy. It wasn't easy.
And now I'm, you know, I literally had nowhere to go, just like a bag of fucking kind of Topshop Joanie jeans.
Oh my God. I remember those.
And a lot of tears. And just, you know, now here we are. Big pivotal moment.
Big pivotal moment. Yeah. I mean, that, to be honest.
You asked. You did ask.
And you shall receive.
She's like, I didn't ask. I'm like, you did ask.
No, but I think, yeah, that is a pivotal moment.
Big pivotal moment. Oh, and also, we got an assumption. Well, we had a few people be like, you're posh, you're posh. I think Seffy's posh, but I'm not posh. You know how I know Seffy's posh is because she, you're going to hate this, Seffy, is because her and her sister will be like, oh, did you speak to mummy about blah, blah,
mummy.
Blah.
Mummy and daddy. Mummy
the
and daddy,
mummy
yeah.
and daddy. The mummy and daddy gets you.
I know. I don't think.
And then she says, "Oh, did you speak to mommy about that?" And they ride off in their horse and carriage. But also, I'm not posh because I was fucking living on the streets, bro. And I mean, I'm really not. No matter how much you try and gentrify Northeast London, it doesn't work for me. But I've really assimilated to like being as posh as possible to get as much as possible
to make your life as easy as possible. Yeah,
absolutely. And I've had privilege in different ways to get that.
I think I'm quite a weird mix. Like, my mum's side is very middle class, my dad's side really isn't.
You grew up in a village, so you would always be more, or like a small town, so you would always be more like, in my mind, posh. It's posh to like come from
no
a country,
not at all
vibe.
Not at all. I mean,
I get that, but like,
I get it completely, because you would think that like more urban is less posh, but not at all. Like my village was very much not a middle class. But well, it's just completely mixed, like every area. I think I'm just a weird combo of things, but I'll take posh. I think I've very much got my mum's voice.
Being working class in a city is different to being working class in the countryside.
Yeah, completely, completely.
Because the concepts, the behaviours, the patterns, it's all different.
But then also...
Oh, well, we're both state school kids, if that clears up any...
Oh, for sure.
Any cues.
Neither of us went to private school, and I would...
No.
Die.
I mean,
that.
You can imagine who we'd be if we went to a private school. It wouldn't be little old Seffy and Wing on a podcast. It would be Seffy and Wing territory. Get out your passports. Welcome to our nation.
Literally, it would be we
like
both
kind of sign in here
in the cabinet right now.
Here's your uniform. Welcome to our world. Yeah, yeah,
no, we're still limited by our limited education.
You know what? When we got off, my boyfriend was saying to me the other day, he was like,
"Yeah,"
because he always does these dodgy impressions of me.
Mm.
And he said to me, when you get off the phone with Seffy, you sound like this. I sound like kind of Princess Margaret. I kind of sound like a real royalist. Yeah.
I've always had throughout my life, I've got a posh voice though, because I think at my school it stood out as well, because my mum has a very posh voice. So therefore me and my sister and my brother have posh voices too.
And you say mummy.
And we say
it
mummy.
It's actually really sweet.
Yeah, I say mummy. But I don't know why. It's almost like we couldn't really grow out of it. Like, I think I, because I'm the oldest, I set the tone of I'm never going to stop saying it. So then, but we have said to my brother, you have to stop now because of the patriarchy. You can't say mummy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always had a posh voice, which I don't really know what to do about that.
Well, I tried.
Sorry.
I think I've said this on the podcast before. No, no, keep it. Well, I tried my hardest to get a posh voice because I knew I had a real, like, in it, nang, I said on the podcast before. Mm. Like, I had, that was my vocabulary. It was not this beautiful kind of vocal fry that you're hearing now. I really had to work out of my accent in order to not draw attention to myself, which is a shame.
So is this your like natural speaking voice now,
or? I'm not putting on a voice now,
yeah,
consciously, but if I was speaking to you versus like somebody else, like another friend, my voice would sound different. But this is also my mirror ball moment where I just reflect back. Like, if I was doing a podcast with one of my, which I would never happen, but if I was doing a podcast with somebody else, like a different friend, my voice would sound probably more like theirs.
That's so interesting.
But also I think my kind of northeast London accent comes out if I'm drunk or if I'm angry, or maybe if I'm like a bit you know what, it came out in my driving test, which I think says something about me. You know how I know that?
Yeah, go on.
This is really weird, but the guy was like to me, we were driving, we'd literally been driving for like, well, I'd been driving for like 90 seconds, and he was like, oh, did you come from far today to take your test? And I was like, no, like kind of 10 minutes down the road or whatever. And he was like, but your voice, like, you're not from here, like, where are you from? And I was like, oh, he was like, you really sound like you're from Walthamstow, which, if you know London, I'm from like Walthamstow way, like that. He knew immediately, so my voice must come in and out, but it's fine, I'm all right, it's okay.
No, I think that's, I mean, it's pretty normal to,
we're fine with all perceptions around here.
Well, that's the thing,
I can't get in your brain and kind of figure things out for you to make sure that you know kind of accurately who we are, because it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
All that matters is you're enjoying this podcast now.
It's
the only thing I have to live for, the only thing that matters.
It's fine, because also, like, I'm not majorly like upset by the idea of people thinking I'm really posh, because it's just, it's kind of like yes and no. It's literally kind of yes and no. It, loads of ways privilege and loads of ways not. It's just completely yes and no.
Yeah,
well, it's the nuance of it as well, because it's like, yeah, well, my mum was privately educated, but I still grew up on free school meals, so it's kind of like, yeah, we're nuanced here.
So funny. Also, loads of people said, can we talk about this one that we said we were going to talk about, which is everyone thinks that Seffi's like really organized.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
when she's actually like the most chaotic person you'll ever meet. Like, I think you are probably one of the most chaotic, like, not even disorganised, but yeah, disorganised, chaotic people
in life
I've ever met.
I'm manic. I'm not organised. I think I've been super kind of misleading with my idea of spreadsheets that we've been talking about. I am honestly the last person to know what's going on a spreadsheet. I am chaos in a bucket.
Well, put it this way, I've made about 5 spreadsheets for Seffi and Wing that she's never even opened once.
Well, you said just now, like, I put that on our shared calendar, and I was like, what calendar?
Like, I'm really like quite Virgo about things, but if you say you've been doing a spreadsheet, by contrast, it's just what we do with not even just women, just with people. You want to put them in boxes, and we do it without even realizing. It's just so funny.
It is funny. I think it's specifically funny because someone said, and you put this one on the story, I think, that you...
I leave everything to the last minute, which is hilarious.
It's so inaccurate.
And Seffi has everything done. It's like, look, I can't even tell you.
Flip that. Flip it. Like, that is completely opposite. It's almost like you must have got our names the wrong way around, because Wing is organized, like, you're like bullet journal times, and I'm kind of like a mess.
Oh yeah, I've been bullet journaling for like 5 years, which does mean that I'm superior to everybody else.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that I've been doing a bullet journal for that long, to be honest, and I'm just chaos. Like, I literally, I don't plan anything. I'll get there late to everything.
You don't know where you're going. You haven't printed the right thing off.
I leave myself time to get lost, because I'm so dyspraxic that it kind of, if I go down one, I know that I'm going, wherever I'm going, I leave myself 15 minutes to get lost, and I'll still be late, because I'll just be in an area crying, going, where am I?
It's a laissez-faire way of living, which feeds into every avenue.
It's not good.
So funny. No, it is good. It's hilarious. Oh, no, it's one of the things I love about you. Like, yeah, no, on a long list of many. Mm. Okay, I was going to pin it back on you. What do you think is the most pivotal moment of your life? Quite a big question.
I don't fucking know. I was thinking about this.
It's a collection of
lessons. Think the most pivotal, this isn't nice as well, it's deep and dark and horrid as well.
Well, that's the thing, yeah, they're never going to be nice, are they? This person wanted us to cry.
I think this is the thing, with pivotal moments, they're never going to be the moment that everyone said that I was the best person on earth, like, or just the moment I committed to myself. It's like, yeah, I fucking wish. I reckon the most pivotal moment of my life was my parents splitting up. Which
we got some questions about that, by the way. Not your parents playing up. It's like, why did they break up? They were so good together. But we got like some questions about like dealing with like divorce and just like childhood stuff, by the way. Which we always say we're gonna.
We've been tempting.
We're a broken fucking record.
We've definitely both been kind of tempting you for the idea with this idea of this like divorce episode.
We're dangling divorce in front of your face, but you're just. Can't grab it.
We just can't bring ourselves to talk about it because it is quite heavy, but also it's not, because I think both of us were the same age.
Well, there's just always something more fun to talk about,
and both of us were the same age. We're both really young, and it's kind of like, yeah, I don't particularly have a big hook on it now, like, it's fine. But I think that was a moment in my life where my life was either going to go one way or the other, and it went one way and changed forever. But not even in a bad way, but just kind of, well, it was bad at the time, but kind of. It was, actually.
If you don't know the story, she was swinging off of, like, banisters and stuff, swinging off of her bed frame, going, ah, kind of like a Sim on fire, just, like, waving their hands around.
I went mental. I went completely mad.
It was
big
incantatum inflammare.
Yeah, yeah. It was what is that girl doing? Me and my sister were, like, climbing up and down our loft beds, just, like, screaming, which is the most bizarre thing to be doing.
So funny. It is kind of the most you thing I've ever heard.
It's kind of the way that my family would react to anything is just...
It's kind of, if I broke up with you tomorrow, you're screaming, hanging off the bed.
I'm going to have to... I need to be on ice. I need to be ice skating, get my body moving as fast as my head is, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of get you on stealth.
Get me on stealth. At all points, get me on stealth. But yeah, I think that's probably the most pivotal moment, but I wish it was something really fucking nice and like... The moment I fell in love with my life. But no,
I think that's a collection of like small moments over time.
Exactly, that doesn't happen, that's not an overnight vibe. And also it's like you fall in and out of love quite a lot, like it's just like endless breakups and endless like kind of makeup vibes.
I think pivotal moments are always kind of around the corner as well. Like I've already had a few pivotal moments and I'll continue to have a few, hopefully, if I continue to live. I don't plan on dying, so if I die, it wasn't me, no matter what they tell you.
But I think that's the thing. It's like, I've had pivotal moments today. I've had pivotal moments this week, like this year, many this year. And in my life, like, there's so many.
It's every night, go to bed and say goodbye to the self
it
that
really
you have today.
It really is.
Because tomorrow is a whole new bitch.
So stunning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one. I've got a few.
Go on, should we do a quick fire?
Oh, well, I don't have any quick fire. All right.
No, go on.
Okay. Well, no. Go.
Let's do slow fire. Let's do a slow burning fire. Let's go.
Okay. Well, someone said, I don't know if this is quite, what about the one that says, how do you structure your days? At first, my lack of routine felt like freedom. Now it's prison. Which I just thought, write me a poem. Why don't you?
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Well, you're quite the queen of structure.
I am, much
despite
to
what they may
dismay.
Think.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of wake up early.
Wing gets up at like 6 a.m. earlier, probably.
Well, like, sometimes mental. I wake up earlier. Yeah, I just naturally wake up early, but I also naturally go to bed really late. I just get no sleep. It's kind of Margaret Thatcher reincarnate. Yeah, I mean, I like a fair bit of structure, but only because I have the privilege to structure my life around things that I enjoy. Because I like what I'm doing day to day, and I kind of like my environment right now and those sorts of things. So, worst case scenario. So let's say So I was thinking a lot as well, like, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. Now I just don't give a fuck about anyone. I've had to completely withdraw all care from society because it's just honestly not good for my mental health. I'm just not watching the news. No. I'm just like not hearing about
energy.
Anyone else's problems. It's all about me. No, I'm joking. Mm-hmm. But I do think I need a bit of that every now and then because I'm not naturally like that. Like, I naturally take in a lot of other people's shit. Anyway. Blah, 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 blah. At the beginning of the pandemic, especially, I was really thinking a lot, and it calls back to what I said earlier of like, thank God, or whoever that is, but thank the universe, thank fuck, that I'm not kind of quarantining in kind of that situation that I had to leave. Like, thank God I'm not quarantining as a teenager when things like weren't ideal and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think in the worst environment possible, without obviously my safety being compromised, I would say I would structure my day around trying to find at least one pleasant thing that I know, and I would maybe save it towards the end of the day, one pleasant thing that I know I've got to look forward to. And it could literally just be, I'm going to spend 20 minutes cooking a dinner that I really, really like, that I haven't had in a while, and I'm going to really get excited about it. Remember when, oh, so also a lot of you didn't know that we used to live together, but when Steffi and I used to live together, we would have like, and I know like we still do it now, it would be like, oh, should we get like kind of oven pizza? It'd be like, pizza night. It's like, oh, should we get like new veggie burgers? It's like, oh, vegan burger night. It was
when
like,
realistically, it's just you're eating dinner, but it would be like, no, look, it's pasta night. Like, it would be like, yeah. Right, we're going to, well, we'd watch about a million, we'd probably watch about 7 episodes of Game of Thrones.
And we had like a tiny kind of patch of concrete outside of our house, and we acted like it was the fucking Bahamas, and we would go and sit on this tiny patch of concrete.
On the front garden, by the way, on the street, well, basically.
Yeah, while everyone's walking past thinking, what on earth are they doing? And we would make like a real kind of, it was like real alfresco. God, it was great. I think if you can find one thing to look forward to throughout your day, you don't have to. So like, I do a full structured situation just naturally, though, where I wake up and I like do this and I do this, and it's like very it's kind of Pinterest morning vibes, but it doesn't have to be that. That's not my advice. It's just the point that I'm at now, and that's not necessarily permanent. My advice would be find one thing, one little thing where you can use it to kind of be a bit nice to yourself. And it could just be making sure that you have something more than a bowl of cereal today.
Yeah. I used to have a rule that I had to laugh every single day. Like,
oh, that's a good one.
Even though it's like, I find a lot of things funny. I do find the humour in things that maybe aren't even that funny. But I used
that's
to
why we're
like,
friends.
Yeah.
I make jokes, you laugh.
But I had to laugh every single day, and I had a YouTube like compilation thing that I would, if I couldn't think of a big belly laugh I'd had that day, like something that was hysterically funny, I would go to this like playlist and watch some until I was like hysterically laughing. And I still do things like that. If I'm at all like feeling a bit stagnant or just like numb to life, I will just watch something that is hilarious and will make me like really laugh. And I think that's a great way to, I know it's not structure, it's not like you were not going to get anything done by that, but trust me, you'll just feel so much better.
No, it is a bit of structure.
It's like, what do you structure? YouTube
it's kind of
videos.
The one, it's like kind of, yeah, the top of your to-do list every day is kind of like watch Ricky Gervais make a joke about trans people. But it's like, yeah, like you need to find one thing a day, one little thing, top of your to-do list. It's belly laugh. I think that's really nice.
Well, I think it's also, I'm not the most structured person, contrary to what you all think.
I can't believe, it's honestly hilarious. I can't emphasise enough how chaotic she is.
That's why I think it's a healthy reminder that as much as you can all perceive us, there is just so much that will not be conveyed. Or that you're all entitled just to make your own like crazy assessments, because
absolutely,
I really have no structure to most things, and I like things to be pretty free in general and pretty spontaneous. I would like to be invited out now, and I'd probably, well, if I could go, I'd go, sort of thing. I wouldn't really like on Tuesday, every Tuesday you're going to do that. That sort of gives me sort of nervous
good,
tummy
but yeah.
vibes. Yeah, I'm not the most structured, but I definitely think there are a few things that I really like to keep to, like I just small things, like I do my eyeliner every day. Just like if I'm not really wearing my eyeliner, because I don't really wear any other makeup other than just eyeliner and mascara, and if I haven't got that on, I'll feel a bit
you're not in character,
bit funny, just because it's like I've been doing that same look, literally the same look, since I was like 13, and it's just part of my routine to feel like myself. Just tiny things like that, or like if I now, I mean, yoga is a big part of my routine these days. If I haven't done that, I will feel unbalanced. I like to watch something in the evening. I love to watch some fucking TV in the evening.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing That's a cool stunning. Thing here as well, in a similar vein to burger night and stuff. We're doing quite nights, like last Saturday it was Lebanese night, and then we do like Italian night and French night, Spanish night, Japanese night. Stunning. We've gone through all the nights.
You do need that though. Well, I do.
Same.
Anyway.
I think it's getting like, yeah,
give me a
to.
Bit of pizzazz. Yeah, and especially if it's food. Oh, I'm really excited.
And also, like, have a drink. Like, smoke some weed. It's fine.
So true. I like this one. This person said, "Has a man ever put your pleasure above his own?"
Constantly.
Let me just quickly grab my dog. Sorry.
Classic man putting his pleasure above your own.
I was just about to say that. Come on then, you little weasel head. Oh my god.
Cute.
Okay, sorry, it's really knocking on the door. Okay, yeah, has a man ever put pleasure?
Yeah, constantly. That's the norm, isn't it?
Well, yeah, kind of every night of my life. I'm in a long-term relationship and I wouldn't have it any other way. I kind of presume in everything we do, my pleasure is above his own. We're balanced.
No, it's his pleasure is above yours.
No, your pleasure is above his own. Has a man ever put your pleasure above his? Oh, you're saying no.
I'm saying no.
Oh, so you've got the wrong end of the stick there.
I'm completely joking. But I think it's like, I demand that, but it is constantly met with like a jarred expression of like, what?
Yeah,
I think it's always...
kind of with boys our age that have kind of been slamming their fingers into like a really dry vagina. Like they don't really understand.
I'm calling that finger in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
Has a man ever put your pleasure above his own? Above his own?
I think it's a mix because they're almost getting something out of it. Like they're almost getting either equal or more out of most kind of casual sex situations, or even just like a friendly sex situation. So it's kind of they're getting more or equal. I can't think of a situation where I've been like,
put my pleasure above your own. Yeah.
So impressed. Like, yeah, you really, really got nothing out of that, and I got loads out of that. Like, or like, you just got such a minimal amount of that out of that. Like, that was so great for me. Like, no, never, really. Never.
I think it's rare. It's only the fact that I've been in a relationship for a long time where it's just completely different. I think it's really, really rare for, like, look at the way we're raised. Like, of course men wouldn't put your pleasure
above theirs.
Well,
they don't have to. Obviously. They literally don't have to. They can get everything they want.
Well, the problem is they think that they are.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
The problem is they think it's equal. They don't know that what's happening right now is literally sexual assault.
I wish I could go into detail about this, but I can't really.
Go on.
But I was in a situation quite recently.
Breach your privacy.
Where... breach my privacy and the privacy of others
for our entertainment. Sorry, you can really hear my dog.
But I think there was a guy that was quite shocked by even your own privatization of your own desire. Mm-hmm. I think it's sometimes quite shocking to a man that isn't accustomed to that, and they don't know how to act. Almost like when you know what you want, it can be quite intimidating, I think. Which I love. I love being a bit intimidating, but it's. I think it's sometimes met with a bit of shock of like, oh.
I think it makes them second guess every other sexual encounter they've ever had, because they know if this is more likened to what they should have been doing. Granted, like everyone likes different things, but if by paying attention to you was something that he should have been doing more of, then it causes him to look back and think, shit, like was everyone faking it with me? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Or like, I can't go into too much detail, but it's just sort of crazy. That's all I'll say.
Thanks for that. That was really
it's a good thing I have a podcast.
Insightful for all of us.
It's just kind of crazy.
Well, should we leave it there?
Yeah, let's leave it there. It's all crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Unless you've all got 60 seconds to live.
60 seconds.
Oh, God, wouldn't that be horrifying?
We all have 60 seconds.
What I don't like is if someone... No, everyone's going to turn off the podcast. I was going to say, what happens if someone dies while listening to our podcast?
What, and then we get sued?
I guess we'll never know. But I wouldn't like to hear that. If I was listening to a podcast and they said, what happens if you died while listening to this? It's like, oh, now you've
tempted
the whole
fate
thing
a little bit.
Like,
you're
cursed.
Watching your clock.
Exactly,
you're watching your little watch past.
Oh, I don't like this because I think I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want you to think that we're doing that to you.
Cool. Right, we'll see you next week then, guys, and enjoy your week.
I hope they enjoy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.